Thanks, Vivian. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Thanks, Jeremy. Good afternoon on this Wednesday afternoon. How are you? And we can confirm, yes, it has got cloudy on the east coast of the country. 51551 ray@rte.ie. Patrick has been on to the email address. He says, so delighted to hear you'll be talking to Mark Almond on the show today. Have been following Soft Cell and his solo career since the very start, which is 1981. I've travelled to the UK to see Soft Cell a couple of times, so I'm looking forward to seeing them and welcoming them this Saturday to my local park of St. Anne's. Best wishes, Patrick. That's Patrick Lynch. Once I ran to you, now I'll run from you. This tainted love you've given, I give you all a boy could give you. Take my tears and that's not really all tainted love. Really excited about talking to Mark Almond. And if you're of a certain age, that song was part of your childhood. It was played at every disco, every 21st, every wedding, everything, everywhere. It was there. I think it was number one in 48 countries back in 1981. So we'll have to talk to Mark about that and other things. And of course, another big song in Ireland, which was written by Mark, but the version that we know and love, as well as the Soft Cell version, is the David Gray version. So we'll be talking to him about that. What I'm talking about, of course, is Say Hello, Wave Goodbye. Take a look at my face for the last time. I never knew you, you never knew me. Say hello, goodbye. So we'll talk to him about that as well. Mark Almond after 4 o'clock. And our Sinead is starting running. Yes, so we'll be talking to her. She's out and about, talking to people out running and thinking of running herself. She hasn't committed quite yet, so she'll be meeting up with Mary Jennings. Now, on running and moving and all that sort of thing, a few weeks ago we spoke to Ian O'Brien from Waterford. Ian has Parkinson's and he was telling us about his plan to scale the highest elevation points of the EU's 27 countries and the UK in just 28 days. All in aid of early onset Parkinson's disease. Well, he contacted us from the airport this morning to say he was ready to start his adventure. So we just want to wish him the very best of luck. And I'm sure his daughters, Clara and Hazel, and his wife, Caroline, are super proud of him. And we've sent him off with a Ray Darcy Show Keep Cup. And he's promised to take some pictures on the tops of mountains. So we're travelling around. I love those pictures, you know, and he'll just cheesy grin on the top of the mountain. There you go, with our Keep Cup pointing at it. And you can support Ian on European. You see, Europe Ian. Very clever. EURUPIAN. He has a GoFundMe page and you can follow his antics and his adventures on Instagram at European 2023. And we wish him good luck. Loads to talk about the CSO figures on last year's census. And you would have heard all the top line figures, the ones that caught my attention. Over 700,000 of us volunteer for no pay. That's great. That's great. We could do better. We could tip it over a million. But over 700,000 people go out and help other people less fortunate than themselves in their community and they don't want anything in return. That's good. Pat on the back. Round of applause. The other one, which you would have heard, is that 750,000 people last year when the census was carried out were working from home. Now, I'm sure that figure's probably gone down because as pandemic fades in the rearview mirror, I'd say more and more people are moving back into the office. But that's a good chunk of people as well, a good chunk of people. And with that in mind, I see in a recent survey, which isn't the census, over 70% of people admitted to bringing a laptop with them on holidays to get some work done remotely. Now, you see, you shouldn't be doing that. 3/4 of people bringing work on their holidays. Holidays are without work. That's the thing. That's the definition of holidays. No work. It's Latin. I'm just making that up. But you shouldn't be bringing your work with you. And you have to have clear demarcation between work and holidays. And more between work and your evenings. If you work a 9-to-5, you need to be leaving the work behind you in the office or wherever it is and going home and clearing your mind and spending it with your family or whoever you're spending it with. Anyway, that's sort of worrying, isn't it? That is worrying, yes. Also, which is very worrying. You've probably heard this. I think this is very funny. Harry Styles is in Slane, not this weekend, next weekend. And there's a shortage of feather boas in shops across Ireland. So yesterday we went in search of the cheapest 99 ice cream, and we found it in Balhadrine. When Martin has a whim, he gets up and he goes, I'm going to sell the 99s for €1. We don't know if he's going to have a whim this weekend. Anyway, there is a shortage of boas. If you have one in stock, let us know and we will let them know, because you can't be going to Harry Styles without a boa around your neck. It just says everything about Harry Styles and his fans and his community. So let us know if you have a shop and you have a boa, and we'll let the people know out there. This is going to make you feel old. It's 25 years to the day since Jerry Halliwell. I thought it was joined Spice Girls. It's 25 years today since Jerry Halliwell left the Spice Girls. Yo, tell me what I want, what I really, really want. Classic pop song. 25 years since Jerry Halliwell left. Thank you very much. Dancing at the crossroads. I was always envious looking at those photographs and reading about when people used to gather at crossroads in rural areas and have a bit of a ceilidh. Well, if I could make my way down to Laharne Cross in Cork, I see Cork Bio are saying that traditional open air dancing at Laharne Cross is back for the summer this weekend, as the community heads out to enjoy some trad tunes and lovely evening weather for the first dance of the year. Whoa, yes, yeah, no, hey. Go on, Pat. Pat Daly will be there playing the tunes. I don't know if there's going to be a floorboard put down at the crossroads in Laharne Cross. But there is a ceilidh this Sunday, and of course it's a long weekend, so you don't have to worry about getting up for work on Monday. 2 hours of music. That's me dancing away there. You hear the old... Sinead ní Uachán, Conestatu.
Come on, Ray, Constantu Hain.
Come on, have you ever danced at the crossroads anywhere, ever?
No, I don't think so. No. I did do set dancing there not so long ago. At home in West Kerry. Yeah, I went to a class. It was class. Really good fun.
So that's the Siege of Venice and all that sort of thing, is it?
There's a certain set in West Kerry called the West Kerry Set.
And oh, right, it's very original. How did they come up with that name?
But I'll tell you something, I sweated.
Yes.
Bullets. Oh my God, I was drenched afterwards.
It's a workout, isn't it? It's a workout.
And yeah. You don't even realise it's a workout because you're enjoying it as well, and the music and the company and the steps. You know, when you manage to get the steps right, there's that sense of achievement.
Mm. And you don't have to wear certain types of shoes, do you, for set dancing?
No, not at all. But if you do have one with a little bit of a heel that can make a nice little sound when you batter the floor, it's quite nice.
It's quite nice, yeah. The West Kerry set. Now that's the
West Kerry set. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, more exercise on your horizon. Go on, talk to us.
Go on. Well, do you know what? I was looking forward to this conversation, but for the past maybe half an hour or so, I've kind of got a bit of a feeling in my stomach, a nervous feeling, because I've decided that it's time to change things up, to shake it up, as Taylor Swift said. I'm relatively fit, but I'm not as fit as I would like to be. And it's kind of been weighing on my mind a little bit for the past while. You know, when you see yourself in photographs and you think, oh, that's what I look like, you know. Mm. And also maybe when I reach the top of the stairs that I'm a little bit out of breath and that I haven't been like that in the past. And you know, when you know that there has been a change to your body or change in your mind, it stands out, and you kind of can't move past it, because then you become consumed thinking about that change and, oh, I used to be able to do this and now I'm not. So I used to go to the gym and I'd hop on the treadmill for about an hour and walk for the entire hour, and that was grand. And then I kind of fell out with the gym. I'd go for a certain period of time, and I'd go maybe 3 nights a week for a good few months and try my best. But it's been, I'd say, a good few months since I got into that that way.
You've drifted. You've drifted.
I've drifted. Yeah. And I think it's because the evenings are nice. They're bright. I feel like I shouldn't be locking myself up in a room, that I should be outdoors, that I should be at one with nature. Now, I don't know if that's just an excuse, because now that I'm thinking back, I mean, there were winter months when I didn't go to the gym as well. Maybe I'm just lazy. I don't think I'm lazy, but I think I need a kick. I think I need a kick in the form of some sort of a goal.
Right.
Some sort of a
You've come
challenge.
To the right place. Ta-da! Because it just happens in 4 weeks' time. We're hitting the road and we're bringing Run With Ray, our 5K series, I suppose not series, but five 5K runs, Donegal, Sligo, Mullingar, Avondale in Wicklow and Clondalkin in Dublin. And you are welcome to some, if not all of those, Sinead.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just saying, it's interesting, because I know you probably heard me say it because you listen every day attentively. But no, it's that it is good, because we're offering people a goal, a target, something, you know. And a lot of people are like you. They've drifted away, or they've notionally thought, yeah, that'd be a good idea. Never got around to doing it. And we always thought with the 5Ks that it gives people something to aim towards, and that's mm-hmm. that's what it is. So you're up for it. I'm interested to know about the butterflies in the stomach. Is it about the commitment or?
Well, I think it's about the commitment, and I think it's about saying it on live radio, because I often set myself goals or challenges, but I keep them private, because if I don't manage to make it to the finish line, I don't have to, you know, I haven't failed, and people don't know that I haven't that I have failed, because it's private and I keep it to myself. But I'm saying this out loud, so I think that that's a good thing in a way, because I will have to commit and I will have to keep going, because I won't want to let myself down.
But it's for you. It's not for anybody else.
Absolutely. And I have to think of that as well when I'm doing it. Yeah. But you know yourself as well, I'm a little bit stubborn. If I've said it on radio,
I'm delighted. I'm delighted you're doing this. I'm delighted you're doing this. You know, because I have a bad name for running. You know what I mean? I have a bad name. Oh, yeah, it's easy for you. You know, so people have probably got bored me talking about running and they don't even listen anymore. So I am delighted that you are doing it, because you can talk us through what it is to start from scratch and everything that goes with it.
Yeah, everything that does go with it, and that feeling even today of the nervousness in the stomach, knowing that I'm going to meet Mary Jennings later and that she's going to maybe set a goal for me. Just even having a goal, or, you know, people are busy and we're all too busy, and I know that that's an excuse sometimes we make for not doing the important things in life, but even, you know, setting time to one side to do this, but you do have to prioritise, and I think it is important. I want to be fitter. You
okay,
know, I want
okay.
to.
If you don't feel better at the end of this, I'll give your money back.
Whatever. Okay. I pretend now.
So you're
rich.
So you're invested in this. So when you were out and about this morning asking questions, there was more of you in it than normal.
There was, yeah. And I wanted to figure out, you know, do people go out running? Do they run outdoors? Do they run in the gym? And also if they had any advice for me. So I met a lovely lady from Idaho. Her name was Karen.
We run outdoors. We live near a really nice system of trails in the foothills, and so we usually run on the trails. It's just good to be outside. I would say get some really good shoes, get some good advice. Go somewhere to a running shoe store and get some good shoes that fit you well. And start off slow and set small goals and just really enjoy it.
That's sound advice from Karen, isn't it?
I think so too. Small goals, build it up. You know, like, I'm not going to come on here saying that I'm going to do a marathon in November. Or am I?
Well, I was just thinking, like, if you get to the 5Ks, and maybe this time next year you could be looking forward to the women's mini marathon, which is happening this Sunday. You know, this year you could be looking forward to it next year.
Because people say as well, and I'd say that you would agree, it's like a bug. Once you start, you get so into it that you want to continue doing it.
Yeah, not everybody, but some people. Yeah, I've met loads of people people. And if you can do one 5K, it means you can do another 5K. And that could be it. And a lot of people just say, that's it, that's my thing. I'll do a 5K every so often. Other people then get the bug, as you say, and work their way up. And before you know it, they're doing marathons. Now, what about Charlotte? What has she got to say for herself?
Yeah, well, she runs in the gym, so she wouldn't be maybe a fan of outdoor running, but she likes to do it in the gym.
I do sometimes, just in the gym and bits like that. Nothing like serious. I'm not training for any marathons, but I think it's good for my head. I think a lot of young people my age, it's kind of like going to the gym just for your mental health and stuff like that is good. So running kind of just takes your mind off thing and you just kind of have to focus on that one thing. I mean, when I started, like, I don't even run that much, but like when I started, like, you can't even run for a minute without feeling like you're going to pass out. But I think just starting slow and just kind of building your way up and always having some good music, a good playlist on, keeps you going. Definitely a lot of pop, a lot of like Ariana Grande and Charlie XCX and all them. So probably showing my age now, but yeah.
Very young, obviously.
I have to work on the playlist as well.
Yeah. Usually when people say I'll probably show my age, it refers to, you know, I'm you know, the other side. She was referring to the other side of 20, as in the right side of 20. Yeah, but that's good to hear that, you know, that when you start off, because I think people sometimes don't get beyond that. They find it so difficult that they just give up on it. So it's good to hear Charlotte's experience. And running isn't for everybody.
No, it certainly isn't. And Geraldine doesn't like to run, but she does like to walk.
I don't run. I walk. I can barely walk. I walked in from Ballyfermot and I'll do a bit of walking around town, do about 10 to 12K a day. I think it's great for the head, it's great for the mind, and there's the benefits for toning you up and all that. If you watch your food, then it is a great benefit. I'm not too good at that. I like my chocolate. But it's a great way of releasing tension and just enjoying the scenery when you're gone, staying in the moment, just looking at the gardens and the houses and the buildings. It's lovely.
That's a good bit of walking.
A good bit of walking from Ballyfermot. I met her just off Capel Street, so she had come a long way.
Yeah. Did I detect an American accent in there somewhere?
You certainly did. She spent, I think, 12 years living in the United States of America, but she's moved home in the past few years. So, okay. Yeah, she did have a nice little twang, didn't she? Like, kind of American.
Yeah. Now, you met a real runner next.
Yeah. I wasn't very intimidated, though, so that's a good sign. His name was James.
I run about 3 times a week, usually about 5 kilometres. I used to be in a school club doing cross country, but I also did 200 metres. When I was a teenager, about 16, I managed to clock 17.8, which is one of the fastest representing in Ireland, but it wasn't official.
Oh, no.
Yeah, basically there was a high wind behind me, so it was never clocked as being official. I'm only getting back into the running again in the last year because I ruptured my Achilles tendon, so I'm just basically getting back in the swing of things again.
So he had an Achilles injury. So he had the hill and the wind, that's why he wasn't never clocked.
What
as
a shame! Yeah. What a shame! But I did ask him if he had any advice for me.
If you're starting out, the best thing is find your local running club. There's a lot of people doing it these days. Three of the guys in my club, they're well in their late 80s. There's a married couple who are both in their 70s and only started last year, and they took part in the Drogheda 10K fun run. So it's a great way to meet people who have a self-interest in keeping fit. So get out there, run, find people with a self-interest like yourself, and have fun.
Man, James, there you go.
Like myself.
that's good advice, isn't it?
It's never too late.
It's never too late either.
Yeah, everyone was so positive. Everyone that I spoke to said, you know, keep going, just little baby steps and bit by bit. So that did inspire me a bit.
Okay, so you're hooking up with Mary Jennings, who is a running expert, and she's going to literally put you through your paces. Is that it?
I think so.
Right, okay.
I hope so, yeah. I do need that push. And I think that the push is coming in the form of Mary, because Mary is an expert. She knows what she's on about. She'll be able to help me out with all those questions that came about when I did the Vox Pops earlier. What shoes I'm to wear? What kind of ground am I to run on? How do I take it in baby steps? Like, what is step one? And what is the finish line as well? What's
great.
My goal?
Great. Okay, so you'll probably be sweating and out of breath when we talk to you next, just before 4 o'clock. For the moment, Sinead, thank you very much. Thanks, Sinead.
Greenless,
thank you.
Lovely.
Bye. Slán. And yeah, it's the 26th of June. You can register now, rte.ie/Ray. And we're in Buncrana and Sligo, Mullingar, Avondale And on the Friday, we're in Cork Park. And each day, we'll be broadcasting from the Roadcaster. And then after the programme's finished, we start the run, walk, whatever you're having yourself, at 5:30. It's a fiver to register. And for that, you get to participate in the event. And you get a T-shirt, a Run With Ray T-shirt. So it's rte.ie/Ray. Now, 51551, let's see what you're up to here. We have lots of feather boas in Glitzy Bits in Limerick, says Sharon. There you go. And I used to wear feather boas to Manic Street Preachers concerts back in the 90s. Now my daughter is off to Slane next weekend with my black and pink boas. She didn't quite get my music taste, but delighted to see her enthusiasm for an artist. She's obsessed with Harry. It's her first gig with her friends, so my nerves are gone, says Anya. She'll be fine. We have tons of feather boas in stock in Woolworks and Fabrics in Drogheda. So there you go, Glitzy Bits in Limerick and Woolworks and Fabrics in Drogheda. And somebody says, it would have been far worse if Emma Bunton, also known as Baby Spice, had left the Spice Girls. She was always my favourite. And a strong Irish connection. I remember going down to interview her cousins down in Ferns, historic Ferns in County Wexford. On running, best tip I was told was not to look up at the road ahead. The rain in Wexford. Yeah. There's loads of tips about running. 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. Yeah, it's 25 past. Good afternoon. Queen of Soul, is she the Queen of Soul? She's the Queen of everything. Diana Ross. Ain't no mountain high enough on RTE Radio 1. 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. On Friday, which is not just any Friday, it's the beginning of a long weekend, we're broadcasting live from Mungrid GAA in Limerick. Why are we there, you ask? We're there to celebrate and help launch Limerick's first women's shed. We spoke to Sinead about a year ago. She was telling us they were thinking of putting it together. They had a meeting for people to come along and express their interest. They got a huge number of people there. And we said at the time, if you're ever launching it, we'd love to be there. And we'd bring the whole cock and caboodle, whatever it is they call it, mics and all that sort of thing. So we're going to be there on Friday, broadcasting live from 3 o'clock to 4:30 from the Mungrid GAA Hall with an audience of about 200. There's loads of stands there. There's going to be Zumba dancing and burlesque dancing. No, I won't be doing any of it. You're okay. And it's not television. And we're going to bring some music and some comedy and loads of things. And we'd love you to join us, as in on the radio, Friday, 3 o'clock, to launch the Limerick Women's Shed. Now, we're looking for two of you to come on after 4 o'clock and take part in the Who Done a Quiz. Two quizzers and three Who Done a questions on music, sport, TV, books, politics, films, comedians, anything that involves human endeavour. And like all whodunits, there will be clues. If you go without a clue, you get two for a correct answer. If you take a clue, it's easier, you get 1 point for a correct answer. And there is a prize, and it's a 2-night stay for two people in one of the gorgeous 4-star Ainua Collection hotels. There's the Hibernian Hotel in Kilkenny, Dublin's One Hotel. You can taste the magic in the Tullamore Court Hotel, relax in the Hillgrove Hotel in Monaghan, or the Fairways in Dundalk, or any one of the Radisson Blue hotels in Athlone, Cork, Limerick and Sligo. There's something for everyone to enjoy, from overnight getaways and spa treatments to elegant afternoon tea or a delicious meal in one of the many restaurants across the Ainua Collection. Ainua.ie, Ainua.ie, and you can see the full array of summer offers available starting from €149. Here's your qualifying question on this Wednesday afternoon. Who is taken to the stage at Slane Castle on June 10th? So who is taken to the stage at Slane Castle on June 10th? Is it Harry Styles or Johnny Giles? See what you did there. Harry Styles or Johnny Giles? 0818 715 925. 0818 715 925.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray at rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Kit and Caboodle. I was trying to think of what it was. Kit and Caboodle. My next guest has been on the show here plenty of times throughout the years, but I'm delighted to have him here today talking about his own show, because he's been on numerous reality TV shows over the years. But he now has a little documentary of his own, Should I Be Fixed? It will soon appear on BBC Real. Paddy Smith, good afternoon. How are you
Hello,
doing,
Paddy? Hello, how are you, Ray?
Great to see you. Should I Be Fixed? A big question.
Yeah, a loaded term.
So you better introduce yourself again to people, because we can't assume. If people, if it was television, they'd know you immediately. You know, but on radio, yeah.
So my name is Paddy Smith, and I am a social media disabled activist. So I was born with cerebral palsy within my legs, which basically means, in layman terms, that my signal from my head to my leg is slightly askew, and I walk with crutches full time.
Right.
And this whole premise of should I be fixed came from my family always wanted to fix me.
Now you can stop there. You've introduced yourself.
Sorry,
so that's fine.
Sorry.
So people would have known you from First Aids.
Oh yes, yeah.
The Circle. And then there was the other one with your sisters.
Celebrity Pull Them Up My Parents.
Yes. Now I'm fascinated about your relationship with reality TV.
Okay.
Because you were sort of enamoured by it.
Yeah, I was.
Besotted by it.
Yeah.
Seduced by it.
Yes.
All of those things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're out the other side.
Yeah.
And why were you so besotted by reality TV, do you think?
I think that for a long time I felt I wasn't smart enough. Not that people on reality TV aren't smart, but I felt like I didn't have anything but my personality. So I felt, because I was so different, and because I grew up in the world of Big Brother and everything online, that maybe I would find my way within reality TV, because I never felt I was clever within school. So to have like...
So you knew you had something that was different.
Yeah.
Like your disability.
Yeah.
Your sexuality, you know, and then your personality, all that. It's sort of a triple threat of sorts.
And I just enjoyed looking at people on TV. I was nosy. Do you know what I mean? And I thought I'd be good at it. Do you know what I mean?
And it turns out you were.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you made a big impression when you hit First Dates. And then the biggest of impressions on The Circle, because you won it.
Yeah.
You know, that thing, was there, did you think, and we're all guilty of this, that we have something in our head and we go, if we achieve that, then that's happiness. That's
absolutely
it. We've arrived. Everything is sorted.
Yeah, 100%. I've felt that for the longest time. When I got in The Circle and I won the show, I thought that was going to be like my life sorted. Brand deals coming out my behind. Like, I just thought that this is going to be it. That people are going to love me. And it just wasn't that. And that's okay. And that's my expectation of it. And I think that I was looking for happiness, like, on an external level, rather than looking within. I was avoiding certain things of myself and hoping that certain things would fix it.
And The Circle, quite the opposite to happiness, because you came out of there and there was a bit of negative reaction.
Yeah, I was probably a divisive character. Mm. So because of that, you know, I had love and hate, and I just wasn't ready for the amount of hate I got.
Okay.
Even though, like, they put me through psychiatrist tests and all before you go in, like, you know, there wasn't a bad duty of care with on The Circle. It's just my expectation of winning a show. I thought by being the winner that you'd be kind of loved, and that wasn't the case within that.
Yeah, because it wasn't the public voting for you.
No.
And the other thing was that part of your intention was to show that, because we have this sort of cuddly image of disabled people, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, which is wrong, isn't it? It's a stereotype.
We kind of innately feel that disabled people are really good people all the time.
Why is that?
I'm not
saying that you're not, but you weren't comfortable with that stereotype.
No, because
image.
I think that's a stereotype that isn't innately true, because it doesn't mean because I have crutches that I'm a really good person. So, and I just don't like the narrative sometimes that disabled people are victims and, like, you have to look after them. So I, for a long time, maybe a little too far, went against that grain.
Right.
And wanted to show that, like, I could be a bit of a villain.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So
that's why you were a divisive character on The Circle,
I suppose.
Yeah. So, and I suppose timing wasn't great as well. You won it, you got 70 grand. I suppose it was in the UK, huge audience. You thought, you know, the phone was going to be rocking. And then COVID hit. That was, so timing was bad.
Timing was bad. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah. So you had time to contemplate, look at yourself literally in the mirror.
Yeah, and I didn't like the person I saw, if I'm going to be honest. And I had a lot of time on my own, and, like, I became quite self-loathing on myself. I felt like I was going to just be a washed-up reality star with nothing more to give, and just didn't like the person that was looking back at me.
Who was that person?
Someone that was just, I don't know, I suppose someone that was, like, gasping for people to accept them and being versions of them that they thought would work for others.
Yeah, but I suppose.
But never work. But never.
When you have a disability as well, you see.
Yeah.
That's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah. And I suppose I didn't accept my disability fully. Like I avoided. Like I've obviously knew I was disabled, and I definitely, you know, like of course I know that. But there was a sense of like if I avoided the disability, it didn't exist almost.
Right.
Do you know? So yeah. So I've done a lot of self work, and a part of this documentary is probably therapeutic to me.
So, Should I Be Fixed? Congratulations, because you got into the BBC under what's the name of the program?
So it was like a residency scheme. Right. So basically, they picked like four people online from minority groups, and helped them and like kind of build them in terms of presenting, how they pitch to commissioners.
Right.
So you had a 6 months
training course in the BBC.
Yeah. Yeah, and like you just do massive interview. I'm really proud of that because it was a big process to go through.
And everybody seems to agree that the BBC is the best broadcasting company in the world.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm afraid to say because we're in RT at the
minute. We can't compete, you know. Yeah. They draw on a population of over 60 million. We've, you know, 5.1 million here. So it's different. So you got on that course and you pitched this mini documentary, Should I Be Fixed?
Yeah.
Which is a big question.
Loaded question, yeah, it is. Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah, that's why you're here.
So essentially, it was through everything and an accumulation of like, I've always felt my dad wanted to fix me. You know, society, I felt like I was broken in some way. Mm. And that was because of myself and how like I wasn't facing my own problems, and also because how society sometimes looks at people who don't fit in, or with a disability.
And you just remind people, because your mother, when you were in her womb, had cancer. And they had to operate on her womb. And you were born prematurely.
Yeah.
It was a lot of bad stuff going on.
Yeah, so I grew up in half a womb, essentially.
Yes.
And then I came 3 months early.
Yes, and then when you were five, your mother died of cancer.
Yeah.
And then I suppose people were protecting you an awful lot from that.
Yeah, that narrative.
Yes.
Because I didn't know that my mum kind of had a choice whether to like obviously treat the cancer and probably lose me, or have me and take her chances with the cancer.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
So she opted for surgery and save you as opposed to...
Yeah.
Right.
That was tough because I had an inkling about that, but I never fully knew. Do you know what I mean? Like you always have an inkling that could have been the case, because I knew there was a lot of complications, but I didn't know the full extent.
Okay. So you were, as I say, sheltered and protected from that.
From that. Until I was older. Oh.
And part of this little documentary is you talking to Val.
Yeah.
And Val was 18 years your senior.
Yeah.
She was 23, 24 when your mother died. Became sort of your mother in a way.
Yeah,
although
in some ways, your
dad remarried.
Yeah.
So you were talking to her and asking her questions that you've never discussed before.
No. About kind of how they felt about my cerebral palsy when it was diagnosed. About how my mother felt. I never really asked her how my mother felt about it, because we didn't really speak about that.
Yeah.
And kind of like the complications and the, I suppose, the arguments that they went through to what they should do with me, and how we should go forward, and, you know, how they felt kind of in the dark about what to do.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And they
decided not to, like, to treat you as completely normal. Was that was their plan of action?
I think it was.
Yeah.
I think it was. But I think it's very hard for a parent, you know, of a disabled child to, because they always just want to protect them.
Yes.
And that protection can come in sometimes overwhelming sometimes, but they mean it in the best possible way, because they think that who's going to be there for them when I'm gone?
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So all they want to do is protect them from the bad in the world. And I sometimes took that as, you're underestimating me. So, you know, there was
you railed against it.
Yeah, yeah. But I know it was out of love as an adult. Do you know what I mean? But as a kid, that rebellion kind of gave me that zest for life that I wanted to prove something.
Yeah.
And the documentary is about kind of putting that question to the public. It doesn't have to be about disability. It could be about anything like beauty standards, gender roles. Like, we always want a fixed idea and label things that we don't understand. So,
now, you did speak to a medical professional about where science is at.
Yes.
And you're too old.
I am.
Yeah, because you're hardwired. You're wrongly hardwired, isn't that?
Yeah,
that
isn't that crazy,
yeah,
Ray?
Yeah.
Like, that space, if they fix that part of my brain that essentially is broken, if they fix that, my body is now hardwired to walk this way and has compensated in certain ways to help me walk this way, so that my body wouldn't be able to comprehend how to walk like you or someone else who doesn't have crutches.
And then you met Jennifer McShane, who also has cerebral palsy. She was she's a twin.
Yeah.
And her twin doesn't have cerebral palsy.
And she's identical.
Identical. So she...
I found that fascinating.
Isn't it fascinating?
Yeah.
So she can see what she would be like if she didn't have cerebral palsy there.
I know. And I casted her, actually. I did a few interviews. And that was one of the things I thought, because I didn't think that could happen with identical twins. Because it's the same egg, essentially. So I was just so fascinated by... But she was like, also her sister, who doesn't have the cerebral palsy, could feel guilt over the fact that she's the one.
Survivor guilt.
Survivor. Yeah. So it goes both sides. So we go into that in detail as well.
Okay. So at the end, you're musing and you're asking yourself the question. And I suppose it goes without saying that cerebral palsy has made you who you are.
Yes.
And you've come to love that person now. So when you look in the mirror, you see a different Patti Smith.
Yeah, but I also think there's two sides to it, and it's always the same way. I'm always battling it myself. Logically, people say, like, if there was a fix, would I take it? And logically, the answer is, of course you would, because why wouldn't you want to take it? But then there's an emotional element where it's like, I've worked so hard to accept this part of myself, and it's so intertwined in my identity. And how people interact with me and how I interact with the world is through the prism of this disability. So to lose that, I don't know who I'd be anymore.
Yeah.
So, and I don't want to tell you what I said.
No, I know.
Because
I don't
want to get involved.
Well, here's a question you didn't answer. I'm fascinated. Do you ever dream, as in, like, not notionally, but when you're asleep, as in a dream state?
Yeah.
Do you ever dream that you're able-bodied? Do you ever dream of running through meadows? Do you?
I have. I've dreamt of both. I do, of course, I dream of, like, you know, just walking around and, like, flying and all, you know, that stuff. But, yeah, sometimes I don't have my crutches and sometimes I do.
In your dreams,
yeah. Yeah, it's my dream. So my subconscious, like, of course it's always there. And it's just a hard thing to fathom for people. I know, I understand that. But I think that it's a question that we should ask ourselves all the time. Because is it me that wants to be fixed? Or is it society that's pushing me to want that?
Yes.
And that's...
So, without giving too much away, you know, that is... So attitudes be fixed as opposed to the individual.
Yeah, but it's also... That's a fix for me could be different to you. Do you know what I mean? So who am I to say that... You know, if my cerebral palsy was worse, that they wouldn't want to fix it. Or who am I to say if it was better, that they wouldn't? They would want to fix it. So,
the final thing is that what I took away from it was that there's a lot of pressure on parents of children with cerebral palsy.
There is,
yeah, because there's types
a certain
of fixes.
Window. There's a certain window.
Yes, yeah,
yeah, and I didn't realize that was a lesson I learned as well. So it was. Like a journey for myself
as well. Yeah.
Like there's a lot of pressure on parents to make the right decision, you know, because obviously the kid doesn't have the, like, you know, they don't have the idea of what to do yet.
They can't anyway. They can't decide anyway. Yeah. Because
so there's a lot of, what did you think of it?
No, I thought you were brilliant in it.
Thank you.
No, like the BBC have worked really well.
Yeah.
The raw material was there, obviously. So you're a great communicator. It was very engaging, and it was very informative, and it worked in that, you know, you come away from it going, yeah, what should be done, or how should people behave?
That's good.
Should I be fixed? And yeah, great.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
And it's bite size. It's 10 minutes long, and it's on BBC Reel, which is sort of their
YouTube,
essential.
Yeah.
And you're going to be doing more stuff with them?
Hopefully, yeah. So they've come back to me and want to do more stuff. But one thing I want to say is, the more clickbait this gets and the more conversation it gets, the better it will be
for you,
for me. So
You're still doing the reality TV thing. Vote for me now. If he was on TV,
look,
he'd be pointing at the number look, there.
You have to back yourself.
Listen, Paddy, what a story. Some people just have a rough start in life and he should be proud he has such a story to tell. What a trooper, says Marina.
So oh, thank you.
Great to see you. Great to see you.
Great to see you as well.
And as I said to you when you walked in, you're rocking the cravat. And that's your thing, is it?
Well, I wouldn't say it's my thing now. I'm sure a lot of people have done it before me, yeah. But I've decided that I want to bring this into my style.
Right, you're a cravat, yeah. Because are you wearing one on the cover of Life magazine as well?
That's actually the same one.
Oh, it's the same one. It's not on the cover, but you, in the picture on the inside, yeah. Looking good. Great to see you, Paddy.
Thanks so much
for coming in.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Marie has been on. I'm emailing out of amazement. Wow, wow, wow. Paddy, you are a survivor and so many people could take so much from your message. You're as much an inspiration as Edith Eger, who wrote the book The Choice. It's about survival and giving time. By giving time, you're giving love and love trumps all. I'm so glad you are not defined by your disability. I wish you well in every way. Warm regards, Maria. And I'm sure Paddy's listening outside. And on running, my best tip for running was heard on your show 12 years ago while I was attempting my first 5K and came from Eamon Coughlin. He said, run as slow as you can for as long as you can. I still can't get my head around that one. But anyway, that was from Eamon Coughlin. I still say it today to people who I know might be starting out. That's Paul. How are you doing, Paul? And Therese's been on. Just listened to you talk about the run with Ray 5K. My very first run was with you. Couldn't breathe after it. I thought I was going to die, literally. I got the running bug. Though fast forward to Sunday just gone, I ran the Edinburgh Marathon. And got a PB, that's a personal best, of 3 hours, 10 minutes, 18 seconds. Wow, look at you. And was the 24th woman home. I highly recommend it to everyone to start. You never know where it leads, says Therese. Do you hear that, Sinead the Ulicon?
I certainly do. Wise words there from Therese.
Yeah.
Well, I'm feeling good,
are
I
you?
Have to say.
Great,
yeah.
Go on, what has happened?
I'm up in UCD. I met Mary, had a little bit of a warm-up, walked for a bit. She gave me some hints and tips, made sure that my laces were tied correctly. She's by my side now and we did a few laps and I have to say that I survived, and I don't mean to say that, I know that sounds a bit dramatic, but I did survive and I got on well, and I didn't feel like I was under pressure and I didn't feel like I was under a watchful eye either. So
yeah.
I think this is a very, very positive start so far. What's next? What did Brendan Behan say?
I'm delighted to hear. Because I'm completely invested in this, Sinead, you know, and I feel a responsibility because I don't want you to be doing anything that you feel uncomfortable with. So
yeah.
I'm delighted that went, you survived that.
So far, so good, so good. Anyway.
So you're there with Mary Jennings. How are you doing, Mary?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Yeah, good to talk to you. So you're up there out in the fresh air. We thought because the weather was so good that we wouldn't bring you into the studio. So although you are coming into the studio later on for the podcast, more about that and on.
Oh, yeah. You know me, Ray. I'll be outside when I can.
Yeah.
Some places here in UCD we never knew were here.
There you
little,
go.
Rose gardens and all sorts. So,
it's
amazing when you look sideways what you can find.
Now, so tell us about Sinead and pretend she's not listening.
No. Well, do you know what? She's great. First thing, she's got the right attitude. Which is just let's give it a go, do you know? And what I said when I met her there was like, look, our success is keeping going for the month of June. It's not about performance, speed, anything. If you can get out the door 3 times for the month, every week for the month of June, whatever happens on the big week doesn't really matter. That's just the icing on the cake. But you'll have, you know, got back into running again, found the bug for it again and found the routine and hopefully started enjoying it again, which is really the aim for the whole thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, Sinead was saying that she survived it. You put it through her paces. Can you tell much? Because I know you run courses and people are arriving at various stages. Some of them, a bit like Sinead, who haven't done it in a long time, want to get back into it. So can you spot where she's at?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I'll tell you straight exactly what we did. We warmed up a little bit with a walk and I said, keep your warm-ups easy now at the start. We'll just walk for a few minutes, have a chat, see how you're feeling, any aches and pains, see how your body is. And then let's move into a very gradual, slow run-walk alternate. So I explained to Sinead that, you know, to avoid you clock watching the whole time, there's, you know, free apps you can get. Generally, they're called something like interval timer or timer interval. They're all the same, but you can program it to beep every minute. Uh-huh. So what I do is with Sinead is that, okay, I said, just we'll jog slowly here. And we were in this lovely little trail here. And I said, you go ahead of me there, nice and slow. Don't go fast. Keep talking and I'll tell you when the minute's over. And sure, she was still talking and the minute was over. so she didn't even want to stop. So I knew from that.
Talking or running?
No, talking go on and running. Then. That is my key to this. Because if you're talking, even to yourself, it means you're breathing.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And breathing is key essential in all of this. So I knew then by looking at her that 1 minute was no bother to her and we could keep going a little bit longer. But at the same time, I don't want her to run to her limit and turn herself off for today either.
Yes.
So where I think Sinead fits in, and you know, we started talking about this, Sinead, but I'm saying it on the record here now, is you're probably a couple of weeks into a beginner's programme. So I'm going to share with Sinead a beginner's programme I have and give her a little homework now for this week.
Yes.
To slot in with maybe kind of starting with 2 minutes run, 1 minute walk. And she was doing 10 of them, that's 30 minutes. And you know, the next one will be 3 minutes run, 2 minutes, you know, so gradually building it up, but the goal being nothing too daunting so she doesn't put it off all week.
Yeah.
You know,
it's small achievable steps, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Yeah, it is. Really, it's just making an adventure of it. That's what we were laughing more than we were running.
Great.
Well, a bit of both, you know.
And you're going to share that beginner's thing with us and we can share it with our listeners
can happily give you tips. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there. That's the thing, most people who've run before have probably followed a plan.
Yeah.
And they actually know what they need to do. They just need to do it. And all of it is if you find yourself out of breath, I would stop and walk and go slower. Aim for less rather than more in these initial couple of weeks. And if you get a couple of good weeks of groundwork into you, then what will happen is then you can kind of build on it and build on it. And you build your confidence is actually what you build. Because if you build your confidence, the fitness will follow, you know. And if getting out the door is less hard work, then you're more likely to do it.
Because, Sinead, you were saying that you had butterflies in your stomach there. Which surprised me, I have to say.
Yeah, I feel much better, though, after meeting Mary. And even, you know, going for that little run, that I was able to continue talking and laughing and that it was something enjoyable. Now, I know that it was only a lap or two there that we've just done, so I don't want to get ahead of myself. But I did feel comfortable and I didn't feel like I was under any strain or pressure. So I suppose that what Mary has said there as well about just, you know, if you do feel like you are under a bit of pressure, stop, walk you know, listen to your body and listen to yourself and make...
It's the perfect time of year, isn't it? Because you know, whatever time, and I know we hear you on the radio early in the morning, so you're finished at 9 o'clock there. You've the rest of the day to yourself. No, I'm joking. <Yeah. laughs>
I'll be running until 5 in the evening.
But like, you know. So anyway, and I heard this morning 15 hours of sunlight. That's what we're experiencing at the moment. 15 hours. If you can't set aside a half an hour out of that 15 hours to go outside and do a bit of walking or running or whatever.
And what I'm thinking as well, Ray, is, you know, if I have an errand to run or I need to go to Tesco, why not run to Tesco or to whatever supermarket I may be going to? Why don't I make it part of a routine?
You can do that, yes. Functional running, yes.
I think, Ray, a lot of the women I know say of my age, certainly there's a lot of people dropping kids to school and taking 30 minutes then to do something for themselves.
Yeah.
Or people finishing work and doing... the 30 minutes, be ready to go then before you kind of move into evening mode.
Yes.
You know, so kind of trying to find that schedule set time so that it becomes part of a routine rather than, oh, I'll do it when I get everything else done.
Because that's hugely important. I know it sounds boring, but it's hugely important. You work it into your routine.
I think that's what you were saying about
routines,
the mornings as well.
Speaking of routines, Mary, you've to come over back to us because we're going to record a podcast after the show. So if anybody has any questions for Mary Jennings, get them into us now, ray@rte.ie, and we'll have a chat about those in our podcast, and that'll be available tomorrow morning. Sinead, I'm delighted for you. You know, I'm really delighted for you. And Mary, thanks so much for doing that. And we'll see
you about half four.
Slán, bye. Great, Slán. Great. Now, another quick commercial break.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Good morning, good. Quiet. Thank you very much. Now, a lot of people excited about Mark Almond being on the show today. Betty wants me to thank him for his fabulous duet with Gene Pitney on Something's Got a Hold of My Heart. Love it. We'll have to talk to him about that. And Sonia in Wexford says, I'm a long-time Soft Cell fan, age 53, although I have never seen Mark Almond live. One of my favourite songs by Soft Cell is Bedsitter. I don't think we're going to touch on that today, as it reminds me of my student days living on the Rathgar Road in my bedsit in the 80s, early 90s. One of my favourite solo albums is Stories of Johnny. I still have it on vinyl. Every song brings back memories of good times. Absolutely love Mark. He's my long-time idol. No, I actually took bedsitter. I had a bit of bedsitter there, but I took it off the cart wall. We might play it in the future. But right now, it's time for our whodunit quiz. Two quizzes are standing by and a prize, and it's a two-night stay for two people in one of the Ainua Collection's gorgeous four-star hotels. The Hibernian in Kilkenny, the One in Dublin, the Tullamore Court Hotel in Tullamore, Hillgrove Hotel in Monaghan, the Fairways in Dundalk, and any one of the Radisson Blue Hotels in Athlone, Cork, Limerick and Sligo. Ainua.ie, and you can see the full array of summer offers available starting from €149 at Ainua.ie. James Reynolds is in Cork. How are you doing, James?
How's it going, Ray? How are you getting on?
Not too bad. Whereabouts in Cork are you?
I'm down outside Kinsale.
Right. By the sea?
No, unfortunately not. Just green fields all around us. But it's not too bad. Nice and weather. So
is it called anything? Or is it called anything? Or is it just literally...
Dundero.
Dundero?
Yeah.
D-U-N-D-E-R-O-W?
Yeah, correct.
Wow, Dundero.
Just outside Kinsale.
Oh, right. On the land side as opposed to the seaside.
Exactly, yeah.
Right, and you're renovating a shed.
Yeah, myself and my father are renovating a shed for my sister.
Right, so. And what's she going to do with it when it's renovated?
Probably fill it with junk, I suppose, Ray, to be honest.
Right, and does it have brick walls? Is it a brick wall shed?
Yeah, yeah, it's an old kind of a barn that was there. So
aha, nice.
The roof is gone and it's just putting a new roof on it and windows.
And are either of you qualified roofers?
Yep,
carpenters?
My father's a builder.
Ah, is he? Right, all right, okay.
I'm the apprentice still.
Right, right. And are you learning?
I'm trying to anyway.
Yeah.
He's 72, but he moves fast.
Isn't that a lovely thing to be doing with your dad?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah, no, it is. And the sense of achievement when the two of you can stand back and put your hands on your hips and look at it.
He doesn't give out too much either,
does
so
he?
It's not too bad.
So you haven't fallen out yet?
No, we're grand.
Great. And it's the weather, the sun is shining down there. I hope you have your sunscreen on.
It's lovely, yeah. Sunscreen on, great. Shorts and T-shirts. Happy out.
Great. You're up against Louise O'Shaughnessy, and Louise is in Dublin. How are you doing, Louise?
Hi, Ray.
Good. Whereabouts in Dublin are you?
I live in Airfield.
Right. And you're going for a drive out to Malahide?
Yeah, we're going out to Malahide for a drive.
And what's the plan there? Are you just going to park the car and look at the sea, or are you going to get out of the car?
Park the car and have an ice cream and walk around.
Nice. Who's we?
Myself, my husband, Ian.
Right. And you, there's sort of misinformation here, I think. You have three kids at home, all teenagers.
Yeah, all teenagers.
What ages are they?
Oh, they're all old. They're old. In their 20s. 28, 26 and 21.
So they're not teenagers?
No.
But they act like
they're
teenagers,
old.
That
they
is.
They need to be gone. Yeah. Exactly. You have it in one.
Yeah, right.
Do you feel my pain?
Act your age. Yeah,
think I'm a built-in laundry person, you know yourself.
Yeah, yeah, oh God, yeah.
28, 26, 20. When's here, where are you going?
Yeah, yeah. They'll get a shock, won't they, when they go into the real world?
Exactly.
What's this thing that makes noise in the utility room? What is this thing? It's a washing machine. It's a washing machine. That's what it is. Yeah, yeah. How do you make this food thing? What is that? Is it a cooker? What do you talk about? This cooker.
How do you turn that on?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You'll miss them when they're gone. You'll miss them when they're gone, won't you?
I'm sure I will.
Yeah,
I'll let you know. I'll ring you back.
Do. Let us know. Yeah. And you're walking the mini marathon on Sunday. Brilliant.
I am indeed, yeah.
Yeah. I remember Jenny did it a few years ago, my wife, James, yeah. Jenny, and I was going in to support her. So it was starting at 2 o'clock. It was when it was on a Monday. And I was down by Vincent's Hospital here, and it was like 12:30. And the women walking towards me. And I said to him, has it started? Oh, no. We have to get the 3 o'clock train. So they went off themselves before the start, the official start, just to get the train back to Tralee or wherever they were going. That was very funny. How many thousands? It was 40,000, wasn't it, at one stage? 40,000 took part in that.
Yeah,
the biggest.
Yeah, I've done it a couple of times.
Yeah, it's a great event, isn't it? And the weather's looking going to be good as well. And it's on a Sunday as opposed to a Monday, which is always good.
Bring the sunscreen.
Yeah, bring the sunscreen indeed. James and Louise, so it's three questions each. I'll give you the category, then I'll ask you if you want a clue or not. If you go for a clue and get it right, you get a point. If you go without a clue, it's more difficult, so you get 2 points. And whoever has the most points at the end is the winner. And if it's a draw, we go to a tiebreak question. Good luck to you both, James and Louise.
Thank you.
Good luck, Louise.
Okay.
Good luck, James.
Here we go. James, first category, Dublin singers. Dublin singers. Okay, Dublin singers. Do you want a clue or not?
No, I don't.
You don't? Okay. So, for 2 points, can you name this Dublin singer?
We were sailing away with a cargo of bricks for the Grand City Hall in New York.
Who's that?
Is it Ronnie Drew?
It is Ronnie Drew, yes, with the Dubliners and the Pogues and the Irish Rover. 2 points for you, well done. Great Ronnie Drew. Now, Louise, Dublin singers, what do you want to do?
No clue.
No clue. Okay, for 2 points, which Dublin singer is this?
Of a deep ravine where can be seen the worth of passion's pledge. The queen of hearts still making tarts.
Who's that?
Luke Kelly.
It is Luke Kelly, yes. The great Yay. Luke Kelly. Two legends there.
Yes.
And both of you were right. 2 points each. Great start. Okay. On to the second question then, James. It's American singing legends talking. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah.
So American singing legends talking. Do you want a clue or not?
I'll go no clue again.
No clue. Okay. Can you identify this American singing legend then? Here we are.
They put a statue, a bronze statue of me in the courthouse yard of our hometown. And I was so proud of that. And I was just bragging. But I went on and on about it a little too much. And my dad said, well, I am very, very proud of you. He said, because I know that to your fans, you may be some sort of an idol. But to the pigeons, you're just another outhouse.
Hey, who's that?
Is it Dolly Parton?
It is, yeah. That's right. I never heard that before. That's very funny. 2 points. Well done, James. Good stuff. And a great clip. So, Louise, American singing legends talking. That's a mouthful. What do you want to do?
No clue.
No clue. Okay. So, see if you can identify this American legend for 2 points.
You see, country music was always a part of the influence on my type of music. Anyway. It's a combination of country music and gospel. And rhythm and blues all combined is what it really was. As a child, I was influenced by all of that. Well, I think the most important thing is the inspiration that I got from a live audience. I was missing that.
Well.
Is it Elvis Presley?
It is, yes. Well done. Thank you very much. Okay, 2 points. Okay, you're doing really well. Now, final category. It's for all, so it's down to the wire. Final category, Disney characters. Disney characters. No, James.
We'll be in trouble here, right?
Right, okay. What do you want to do? Do you want to call in the heavies, get your dad down from the roof and all that? what are you going to do?
We'll go none again.
Okay.
No clue.
Okay. So, can you name this Disney character for 2 points? Here we go. Good luck.
And don't I deserve the best? Right from the moment when I met her, saw her, I said she's gorgeous and I fell. Here in town, there's only she. Who is beautiful as me? So I'm making plans to woo and marry Belle.
Who's that?
I have no clue.
No.
I don't even know if he's Disney, the Grinch. I have no clue.
No. It's Gaston from Beauty and the Beast.
Not a clue.
Not a clue. Okay, you're not out of it yet. You're on four. You can't do any more now. Louise, you're on four too. So if you get anything from this one, you're today's winner. So with that in mind, Disney characters, what do you want to do? Do you want a clue or not? Hello, Louise. Have we lost Louise? Louise, you're there. Nope, gone. We'll have to get Louise back.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you are. Yeah, what do you want to do?
No clue.
Sure, no,
oh,
clue.
No, clue. No, a clue.
You want a clue. Okay. So, yeah. for 1 point, here's your clue. She wanted to turn furry puppies into fur coats. She wanted to turn furry puppies... Right, I was going to play a clip, but yeah, okay. No, it's fine. That's the answer. That's the answer. Yeah, that is the answer. You're today's winner without the clip. James, sorry about that. You did really well.
Congratulations.
Four is a very good score, and most
you.
Days that would be enough to win, but you're up against Louise today. We're going to send you out a Ray Darcy Show Keep Cup. Good
My
luck.
My father would be delighted. Thanks very much.
Yeah, good luck with the shed and enjoy the sunshine. See you, James. Mind yourself.
Nice
see you. Bye, bye,
cheers,
bye.
Bye, bye.
That's James from Dundero there down in Cork. Louise O'Shaughnessy. You can go now to the iNua website, inua.ie, and see what's in store for you. You can pick from one of their many 4-star hotels.
Oh, thank you very much.
Great. Good talking to you. Well done. Well done, Louise. Bye, 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 bye. Okay, we're going to be talking to Mark Almond after a quick break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
51551 ray@rte.ie. Now, it's 42 years since Soft Cell's Tainted Love was a global hit. And it's hard to believe, but in those 42 years, Soft Cell have never performed in Dublin. Well, that's all going to change this weekend in St Anne's Park, when Soft Cell, along with Orchestra Maneuvers in the Dark, Heaven 17, Sophie Ellis-Bextor and others, take to the stage. And on the line, we have Soft Cell frontman Mark Almond. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm fine, thank you, Ray. How are you?
Good. Great to talk to you. So what happened? I know yourself and Dave split, and you've been here as a solo artist, but the fact that you've never actually performed as a band here is very odd.
We never really played a lot, even back in the early days. We never did a lot of tours or never did a lot of concerts. And we've kind of parted ways on a couple of occasions. When we came back in around 2000 to do Cruelty Without Beauty, we hadn't sort of recorded or done anything together for 17 years. And the same with the latest album, Happiness Just Not Included. So there was no intention of that. It's just that Dave never really liked performing live. He never really enjoyed it. And we just never toured very much.
Yes.
So it's nice that we finally come to a Soft Cell show now in Dublin, which will be great.
So there's a pent-up appetite, Mark.
Well, I really hope so. I think it's good to do some of these songs too, you know, and to an audience who maybe haven't seen some of them perform live before. So I'm quite excited about it.
I hear your birds in the background. What have you got?
Yeah, I've got two parrots and I've got a jackdaw.
I've got a jackdaw
who's brooding at the moment because it's the laying egg season. She's laid two eggs and she's trying to lay another one, but they're not going to be fertilised because she hasn't met a man jackdaw. So basically she's trying to lay something that's not really happening. And so I think I'm going to have to put a stop to it soon because she's spending all of the time in her box and never coming out.
Is her name Dawkins? Is that it?
Her name is Dawkins. We thought it was a male at first. So
right.
We called her Dawkins after Jack Dawkins, the character in Oliver Twist. Because she was always stealing things and, you know, as a little thief, really. So, but then it just stuck Dawkins when one day she laid an egg. So kind of Lady Dawkins, really.
Right. You don't mind me talking about the old times and the formation of Soft Cell and all that?
Sure, no.
And we've clips here as well, which I know our listeners would love to hear bits of. So I tell you what we play a bit of a clip now. I'm going to go with Torch. A bit of Torch, okay. Great tune. So bring us back to the heady days then of the early 80s, and you were just out of art college. So what sort of person were you?
Well, arty, I suppose. I mean, I've been at art college for 5 years, and I think Dave had too. So we were really an art college band, and we formed around the time of punk. We were a post-punk electronic electronic band, and that's how we kind of started at college. I was doing sort of experimental theatre and performance art, and that kind of developed into the first early Soft Cell performances, really, that were really done at the art college. We very much came from that background. So when we suddenly find ourselves in the commercial music business and in the pop business, it was a strange place for us to be at the time, because we'd always in business that we'd have maybe this cult following, and I don't know, very sort of small
alternative
following.
Yes, alternative.
Yeah, alternative, yeah. Following, yeah. And indie sort of following. And then we found ourselves right at the top of the pop charts, you know. And it was a weird place for us to be, but it was kind of a nice place to be. But at the same time, it was, I think both of us were kind of really kind of fought against it a bit at the time, and we didn't enjoy as much as we should have, because we were kind of bewildered by it all, you know, I think, in a way. And we were very difficult, I think, to the record company at that time. But I mean you've just played Torch. I think Torch is probably my favorite Soft Cell single, actually. I think Torch it encapsulates all that Soft Cell were and are. I think it has it's just a great I think it's the best Soft Cell single. Other people will disagree with me, but I think Dave feels the same way as well.
That was a bit, we landed on our feet there, didn't we, Mark? But it's the lyrics, amazing lyrics, great storytelling, and then there's always a brilliant hook as well, which is, you know, that's a perfect pop song then, isn't it?
I think Soft Cell songs, we like to have a bit of bittersweet. You know, they've got a pop, they've got a pop sound to them, and they're very kind of up pop sound. But we like to have a bit of twist in the tail as well. So it sounds, there's a bit of like a little bit of darkness in there as well. And I think it's certainly with a song like "Say Hello, Wave Goodbye," which tells a story. And "Say Hello, Wave Goodbye" really fits as part of Nonstop Erotic Cabaret. It really is it, the whole theme of a story that runs through Nonstop Erotic Cabaret. It's really like a theatre piece. And I think when we performed it over recent years, we've done it as a whole album with visuals and everything. It really is like a kind of a showpiece. Mm. Like it tells a narrative through it, ending with "Say Hello, Wave Goodbye," which tells this story. So, and I think that we really like to write songs that tell these stories and have this cinematic, theatrical edge.
You've queued it up. Here we go. Genius, Mark. That's a genius song.
I just can't tell you. I just can't tell you how terrible that sounds coming out of my phone. I'm sure it sounds better in the studio, but I'm listening here thinking, oh my God, that just sounds the worst thing I've ever heard. But I'm sure it sounds a lot better.
It
than
sounds
that
amazing
in the
here.
Studio, right?
I love it. I was reading an interview you did, and you were saying that people sometimes come up to you after a gig when you sing that. And they go, oh, I love the version of that David Gray song you did.
They do. Well, that's great. It's great actually doing that, because I did some shows with David recently. We did a few kind of arena. David was doing his White Ladder arena tour, and I joined him on stage on a couple of the shows, and it was really great to do. And I think David brought a whole new audience to that song, and he reinvented it and made it his own song. And so it was a really strange thing, because I was coming on singing David's version of, you know, in David's style of my song. I think he really was. I was so happy that he did that, because people were singing along in the audience. It just felt like a weird, because the audience were there not to see me, they were to see David, and they were singing my song but singing David's song. So it was really bizarre, but he brought a whole new audience to that song, so I've got to thank him for that.
Yeah, and of course, White Ladder sold millions all over the world, and that's nice, isn't it?
That's very nice, actually. So it's very, very nice, Ray. Yeah. Very, very nice. Thank you, David.
Thank you very much, David Gray. Listen, you're a great interpreter of a song. You write great songs, and you're a brilliant interpreter of a song, obviously with Tainted Love, Where Did Our Love Go, and this one. You and Gene Pitney. Something's got to
I'm actually recording an album, a solo album of cover songs at the moment. And on my next tour next year is going to be just the best of, the best of my cover songs that I've recorded. So it's going to be a totally covers tour next year.
You were saying to somebody recently that you're going through a golden age or a purple patch or a purple zone, to borrow one of your song
purple
titles.
Zone, yeah.
A purple zone. And do you feel that you're there's a resurgence, there's a new energy around Soft Cell and Mark Almond?
You know, there has been a resurgence of interest. And, of course, there's always this interest in the 80s music as well. It never seems to go away. Every year you think, well, they're going to move on to something else this year. And still, I think people, they love this music that started in the 80s because it was a real golden age of pop. And one could argue it was probably the last great golden age of pop, you know, since the 70s. So it's good to see young people coming to the shows, well, whether it's my solo shows or Soft Cell shows. I get a very wide range of people now, and that's very, very heartening to me. And it's not just the old people like me that have kind of, a lot of my audience have to sit down now because they've got new knees. So they can sit down, but the younger ones come to the front, so in the kind of mosh pit or whatever.
And it sounds to me you get a lovely natural high from performing, Mark.
I love performing. I do. I really enjoy myself on stage, and I really enjoy it. It's something that I excel at. I like it more than a studio situation. You know, I get bored in studios, to be quite honest. So I like to go back to old school things. You know, cause I'm a very old school, old fashioned person. So when I record, I like real things to happen. Things to happen in a studio, and in a live situation, anything can happen.
Yeah,
I've got a great band of musicians for my solo show, and so it can always change. It's always can be a bit unexpected, and sometimes it can go horribly wrong, and sometimes horribly right. But that's what a live experience is.
Well, I was listening to Nonstop Erotic Cabaret, the live version on Spotify, before I spoke to you today, and you're sounding in good voice. And Dave, whatever he's doing with the keyboards, etc., that all sounds good. So people are in for a treat this weekend, Saturday in St. Anne's Park in Raheny. Soft Cell there with OMD, as I call them, not Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark, Heaven 17 and Sophie Ellis-Bexter. Mark, I really loved our chat. And if ever you're in town and you're looking for something to do of an afternoon, you might pop in and we'll have a longer chat in person.
Absolutely. Well, when I've got my album out next year, my covers album, Ray, maybe I can come in and have a chat
Brilliant.
With you about that.
Looking forward to it already. Okay. Mind yourself and the jackdaw and everything else. Good luck. See you. Thanks. Bye. Classic, Chain of Love, Soft Cell, St. Anne Park in Raheny, this weekend. Keith says, can I ask a very pedantic question, please? Is the L in Almond silent like the nut? No, it's not. As far as I know, but I'm not 100% sure. But I've been saying Almond. I think it's Almond. It is Almond. That's it, Moss. Cormac and Sarah are on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.